Welcome to Beneath Your Beautiful, where guests share stories of adversity and perseverance, which inspire, encourage, and challenge us. We embrace these tough conversations, intimately exploring our loves, fears, and hopes with a delicious combination of depth and lightness.
My name is Kimberly Braun. I am a lifelong mystic adventurer. And in that, I'm also a minister, an author, a speaker, a meditation coach, and a retreat leader. So my whole life is really at the service of this awakening into ourselves. And one of the things I love about being on this podcast is the use of the word beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's underestimated how important beauty is in life, and also realizing how beautiful we are, how imperative it is to our happiness and our freedom.
The name of this podcast is inspired by a song of the same name, Beneath Your Beautiful. And the lyrics say, I want to see inside. I want to see beneath your beautiful. I want to see the real you and tear down your walls. Mm-hmm. And so I think that is where our true beauty lies. And it has nothing to do with our faces.
Yes, I'm 100% with you. I've enjoyed exploring that in a lot of unique ways. I was a monastic nun for many years, and the focus there is all on inner beauty. I mean, we shaved our heads, we didn't have mirrors, and it was amazing how quickly I was able to connect with everybody on a soul level.
That's beautiful.
The externals oftentimes deceive us, and we have to take an extra step to get close to the person before us. And I had 10 and a half years of that, not having anything to move through to get to the soul of the women around me. So it's translated that my life is really about that too. I love that. It sounds like you must have been touched in a really deep moment by that song in order to start a podcast.
Every time I hear it, it makes me want to cry, because if we could even for ourselves see how beautiful we were. And oh my gosh, I just spoke to a woman who, you know, spent her whole life with an eating disorder, hating herself, which is common. And this is the goal of the podcast, is that we can move through hard things and we can love ourselves. And it's just a real blessing that you do, and that I have found a way to love myself. How did you become a monastic nun?
You know, what's so aligned with why you started your podcast is my own spirituality has been very banquet oriented.
What does that mean?
I know. Isn't that a great phrase? It's like, oh. Mm-mm.
That you can pick and choose, like in a banquet?
Partly that, but even more that we're meant to have a full life. We're meant to realize our soul desires. We're at our deepest places. We are meant for happiness. And we're meant for all these things that are really satisfying. And I think that's there at the core of every spiritual tradition. But in our human weakness ways of working, we've created a lot of mechanisms that leave us afraid of ourselves or leave us afraid of enjoyment. Like, it's better to give than to receive. And the ways we'll misinterpret that. And when I was little, I was so open, I think like most children, to joy. Mm-hmm. And I started having these mystical experiences that were connecting me with the essence of life and joy, even beyond the trappings of nature. So I would be in nature, I would be in ritual, and I was experiencing so much beauty. And I connected the dots. I'm like, oh, this is what life is about. But I wasn't naive. I knew that it would be a process. When we awaken into these insights, we discover that we're on a path to embodying them. Most of the time, the insight itself, we usually don't change 100% on the spot and then become that immediately. Usually that's showing us a pointer or a direction or a doorway. And that just simply built for me. And as it grew within me, my inner life grew and grew. The natural progression of that love affair was simply to join a monastery to have more. The banquet, I wasn't leaving things. I wasn't giving up things. I did give up things. The loss of being with my family and things was very hard, but the motivator was the going into the fullness piece. Mm-hmm. And I've discovered if we can be at the service of that for each other and help us touch in on the source that's at our center, then we can truly be friends along the journey, and more people can live a life that's free of depression, free of anxiety, free of insecurity in the face of all the world's uncertainties.
Do you know who Elizabeth Gilbert is from Eat, Pray, Love? So I went to see her at an event. I have a magazine of the same name, Beneath Your Beautiful, and I handed her the magazine thinking she would be moved enough to comment, to promote it. Now that I think about it, I don't know what I was hoping for. But her not saying anything really led me to realize that I have to just worry about me and doing it for the sake of art and the beauty of it. It inspired me to take my whole downstairs, which was a photo studio, and make it a place for meditation and yoga and working out and focusing inward, because I realize I've been focusing outward, hoping people will notice me or comment or whatever. So what for somebody like me who's not a meditator, not really, and doesn't really do yoga, how do you start?
Right. You know, that's such a great question, especially because the world is not conducive. Our society, our rhythms are not conducive to make it feel easy to do.
Yeah.
It is easy to do, but it leaves it feeling like it's difficult. Difficult to actually do it and difficult to create the time. And so it could be any practice, but let me use the word meditation as a pointer. It could be anything. It could be yoga. It could be anything. It could be spiritual reading. It could be journaling. It could be anything. So let's say you're drawn to really say yes to the connection with yourself. If you're drawn to that, there are numerous things to do. One is to make a commitment to 5 minutes a day, just 5 minutes, and make the choice of where you want to start with a practice. Some people look at going to the gym as like, I got to go to the gym. Mm-hmm. You have the preconceived idea that this is going to be hard. Mm-hmm. Look at it more like, I'm going to start playing and discovering some cool ways that I can spend this 5 minutes. Stoke that kind of inner childlike curiosity and then simply make little choices. For instance, I work a lot with people helping them go from not having a practice in presence to developing a practice to then it leading organically to grow. So I'm aware of the process. Start with like the first week and say, okay, this week, each day, I'm going to do a different sound meditation. And then just Google on YouTube and find a little sound meditation and do it and notice what happens within you. And then the next week go, maybe this week I'll try a week of breath meditation. So create some fun and playfulness around it and keep that at that, just that 5 minutes. You'll naturally find that you start to rest into it and you'll actually want a little bit more. If you go from that natural desire instead of the obligation way of going about it, it grows. The second and the third, which I won't go into great detail on, that I found very helpful is, second, find some sort of community. Mm. And there are many communities out there that you don't have to say yes to a tradition or a dogma. You can simply say yes to the practice. And there's many online. Ajashanti does great things with Mukti, his partner. Gangaji does. I do. There are many. Locke Kelly does. Tara Brock does. Jack Kornfield does. And you can just start to feel connected to others so you don't feel alone. Because in an overstimulated world, when we step into a moment of silence, it can feel very lonely, almost like we're disconnecting from our life support. And the third, which I have found very, very, very powerful, is choose a spiritual companion or mentor. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of spiritual companioning, which means I have relationships with individuals and we meet once or twice a month. And that is a very spirit-centered, it's all on the internal movements of the person. Having that kind of support can shine lights and give affirmation. Because I would imagine, and I'm saying this of you as well, not meaning to make an assumption, that a lot of times your intuition just does a little niggling. And as human beings, sometimes we respect it and act on it, and sometimes we don't.
Yeah.
A little doubt, or we disregard it, or having a spiritual companion magnifies the movement of spirit within, and then makes it even easier to say yes to it and trust ourselves.
What does it mean to step into yourself?
That's such a great question. It is such a great question. Thank you for asking that. We all have different ways we might talk about it. So I know that when I speak here, I'm speaking from my experience that's led me to certain beliefs. Mm-hmm. I invite you to not necessarily swallow what I say as true, but see what little nuggets resonate for you. Let me be on the outside of your experience and then see. So what I have experienced all my life is that in some mysterious way at my very center, which doesn't have a location, there is source pulsing. There is the ineffable pulsing at my center, not just coming into me, not just happening occasionally, but that I am alive because there is an uncreated source from which and in which I'm living. And I believe that stepping into ourselves is opening up and awakening to the parts of ourselves we might call are the soul, mm-hmm. which is the formless part of ourselves, that are here for a reason, that are here for a journey, that are here for an experience. And because there is a meaning and a purpose in that, that's a lot of times not what we put on it. We can be really rigid in our ideas of what our call is. It's usually much more gentle and subtle. Like it could be that your whole life is the journey of awakening to what it means to be beautiful, period. That is so magnificent. That's a monastery. Mm. So even you touching in on yourself inwardly and recognizing that you have an inherent beauty as a being. You've just stepped into a journey that has a call. You've oriented your whole life around awakening into what that means. And even like your experience with Elizabeth Gilbert, that framed an opportunity for you to even step more fully into what I would call yourself. So that's what I'm talking about. And when we entertain that that's possibly true, we can then begin to ask, how is it true? And then what happens is we open the door to a lot of unexpected synchronicities, intuitions, signs, healings that affect our minds and our hearts and help us realize, in the deepest sense, self-realize a bit more of who and what we are. And there will always be an energy signature. Like my energy signature is I'm in a love affair. I'm a lover, period. That's it. Everything is framed by love for me. That's my energy signature. That's not everybody's energy signature. That's not everybody's real word. But I look at the world in that way. And as long as I stay faithful to that and I make my choices so that I am giving the opportunity for that, because I don't always make choices that give the opportunity, then I further awaken into it. And you know what's interesting is I have a summit coming up in 2 months. I hope you'll attend. You will love it. It's called Discovering Self. And I'm bringing together 11 wisdom keepers from around the country who are going to lead us through practices and insight talks and things like that to explore this a bit more. What is this that we're talking about? It is January 5th through 7th. And if you're listening and you want to sign up, know that you don't have to attend the whole thing. You can. It's going to be like a mini retreat. But everything's recorded, you receive everything. And I'm building in a collective in that everybody that attends will have access to everybody that attended so that, let's say in a chat room, because we'll have breakout sessions, let's say you really connect with somebody, you'll have a way to follow up on that connection and build that friendship.
As a young woman, were you in touch with your spirituality? Have you always felt a connection?
Yes. And I have gone through some very deep, dark nights of my own soul. But because of my early childhood realization of connectivity, I think all children experience a lot of connection. But because I consciously connected the dots, I did always feel that I was held and embraced. I never felt disconnected from source. But I did go through a very life-threatening dark night of the soul. It started when I was a junior in high school. And I began to feel that what I was not holy, was not spiritual. And I doubted my goodness. And I doubted that the qualities of my personality. I'm very passionate in every way. I'm passionate about friendship. I'm passionate about ideas. I'm passionate sensually and sexually. Like, I'm passionate in all ways. And I felt that that part of me, that fire, was bad. Mm. And that's part of who I am as a Kimberly. Mm-hmm. And I went into this serious time of self-doubt, and I was in mental anguish. I went down a very dark hole. It was a living hell, and it lasted for 2.5 years. But within it, for some reason, I was able to go there in that darkness because in some hidden way, I still felt supported by the divine somehow. And I can't quite explain it because I was very disconnected from myself. But even within it, there was something that was audacious, and I still felt somehow supported. Eventually, I had a breakthrough on January 10th of 1987. And that breakthrough led me to a direct experience of unconditional love in a way that I could never put into words. And it wiped away all my concerns. And it wasn't something that came from my mind or my heart. It was just on a soul level. I felt so free that that unconditional love let me experience that really, in the eyes of the beloved, we are 100% free. We don't feel free in life, right? Feel like very, very stressed and burdened a lot. I felt 100% free, and everything about me felt like who I was actually beloved. The fact that I went there into that depth of darkness. And so I entered a lot of different integrative therapies and things to learn about myself, to learn where those shadows came from and what was influencing me, what trauma was I carrying within me in my life, and then also from the collective. And I spent quite a number of years going deeper and learning in that way. And that taught me so much. Mm-hmm. And then helped me integrate the deep experience that I had in new ways.
That's beautiful. I'm curious if your parents were spiritual.
I regard them as very spiritual. I don't know how they'd speak of themselves. For me, I always experienced them as very innocent, mm-hmm, and looking to be kind. So we were strong Catholics, but their way of being Catholic was, we're meant to be kind and loving like Jesus. Like, that was the whole of the belief system. So I was blessed that they were like that. You know, we had challenges in our family because of some of the trauma through grandparents and things like that. But I always experienced that we as a family were approaching it, that we as a family were navigating it. And I would look at my parents, I'm like, wow, they are just navigating things with so much grace. Now, they were given a great gift in that the church we were a part of, when I was probably about 5 years old, had a priest that came there that was very charismatic and was into something called Christ Renews His Parish. And it was a charismatic movement that created retreats, especially for parents, especially for couples and adults, and then had the overflow of having women's groups and men's groups. Like, those are really popular today. Mm-hmm. But back then, in that way, in church environments, they weren't so popular. So my mom and dad started attending these retreats. And then they each had their own group of women and men that were exploring their spiritualities in the context of with their gender too. And I think that that had an overflow into our family of a great amount of healthiness, a healthy perspective. I don't know what their inner life was like. And I never shared my dramatic experiences because I don't think as a child I understood how to speak about it. And I made kind of an assumption that we're all living that way. I think many children would. Plus, I grew up in an era where there wasn't a prohibition about talking about it, but there wasn't the skillfulness. You know how families today will talk about everything.
Not everybody has that kind of childhood. My parents were divorced. I was one of six kids in very chaotic household, drugs, and there was really no spirituality. And so it took a long time to believe what you're saying. And I'm so thankful that at some point I feel my value intrinsically. What a blessing it would have been had I had that in my teens or even my 20s or 30s. It's touching that your family unit was together in that way.
Ultimately, my mom and dad divorced when I was 27. And I have such a heart. And I'm so sorry you didn't have that support. And I know our world is set up where a lot of times it's not there. That's why I think we're friends on the journey. It's not about we're in this together and we're meant to share our insights. And in some mysterious way, we're all on a wisdom path. In some mysterious way. But there is really deep trauma that our world still does not offer kindness. I would love maybe to share a poem. This is a book of my poetry. Today, my prayer and my meditation is for all of those who have longing for love that is not yet realized, or all those that grieve the loss of love cherished in any way, in all ways. All you, my dear ones, who have sensed a gap called longing. May the longing be like chocolate consumed, melting in your mouth, dripping down your chin, staining your shirt. May you walk down the street smudged and messy, lapping the sweetness stuck to your teeth, wordlessly proclaiming your intimate desires for union and your reckless abandon. You will meet me, and I will throw my arms around you, finally meeting a friend.
Oh, that brought tears to my eyes. That's so beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of Beneath Your Beautiful, hosted by Hara Allison. And thank you for your ratings and reviews. We'll be back next week with a new episode. Stay tuned.